Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Drew Hernandez, straight off the front lines of his reporting from the Supreme Court, the border, and L.A. Pride, joins us. And James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, how's he doing after the FBI raided his apartment? We visit with him. You can email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. If you'd like to get behind the work we are doing, go to tpusa.com. And come to our Student Action Summit. That's tpusa.com/SAS. tpusa.com/SAS. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com/SAS. It's going to be amazing. Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, there for a Turning Point Action. And with Turning Point USA, Kaylee McEnany, Ted Cruz, Laura Ingraham, Josh Hawley, Greg Gutfeld, and more. tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. I'm joined with the great Drew Hernandez. Drew, welcome back, man. I want to brag on Drew here. Drew flew out to Washington, D.C. in anticipation of the Roe v. Wade ruling. Drew, you kind of camped out there waiting for it, and Drew got some of the most compelling footage right as the Roe versus Wade ruling was announced, both positive and negative footage. And you also got into that kind of altercation with one of the guys there in DC doing some great front lines reporting.
Yeah, Charlie. I mean, it's a team effort. I know you and I were coordinating on when we should go. And I think the best decision was to just kind of like stake it out and wait, because it's a monumental. This is American history.
Yes.
It's huge. This is something that we didn't want to miss. If we did, I think we would have really regretted it. But I was kind of like running some of the numbers, and this is grassroots type of stuff right here. This is definitely God's work moving through us and what we're doing, being in the right place at the right time. That's always been my experience. God directs our steps. You always end up in the right place at the right time because God is real and he's leading you. And I think in totality, our entire front lines on the ground, just my Twitter account alone, the viewership was 7.5 million
That's
views.
That's crazy. That's just Twitter.
Just Twitter. And if we add the Tucker hit that I did, which is obviously our Roe coverage, that's over 10 million views.
And we don't even know the repostings on Instagram and other places. Yep. And it really is a lost art here. And this is why we're so excited to have you and partner with you and do things, which is this kind of grassroots front lines journalism. Yep. Because it's hard, right? I mean, you get sweaty. You don't get to sit in an air-conditioned office. Right. And so just talk a little bit about that, because you're kind of becoming known as kind of one of the, if not the best, front lines journalists where, you know, when the sparks are flying and Antifa comes out, Drew Hernandez is there. But talk about the hours. Talk about the grittiness side of it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, shout out to the team, though. The front lines team, they really helped me like with booking the flights and, you know, getting me where I need to be.
The logistics.
The logistics. Right. But like the actual on the ground, when you're on the ground. It's a lot of instincts. You have to know like what's coming. You have to know what you need to film at the right time.
Yes.
You kind of have to kind of have a feel of the crowd. I mean, it's a different environment. I mean, they're kind of like, I view it kind of like, I don't want it to put it this way, but every kind of arena is like a different level, like a video game. Like that's how I view it. I don't treat it that way because you could get really
different
hurt.
Challenges.
Different
right?
challenges. You know what I mean? There's different levels. There's like expert, hard, medium, easy. It really is. I mean, for instance, if you go to Portland, you go undercover with Antifa. That is probably the hardest thing to do right now, is go undercover and get that kind of footage with them. But you go to like a protest somewhere in Arizona where it's not that hard. So you
kinda, moderate, maybe
it's moderate. Yeah. You kind of have to. What I always, you know, encourage people is not everyone can do what I do. I think a lot of people try to. I mean, you can just run out there with a camera and like film something, but to consistently like keep doing this on like a monthly, weekly basis, it does take an amount of skill.
Yeah,
and obviously
precision.
God is involved, precision, because you have to be able to see things. Like when you see people like Savannah Hernandez or Julio Rojas with Town Call.
Julio's great.
Julio, with Town Hall Media, or Jorge Ventura with Daily Caller.
He's also
a lot
terrific.
Of these people are extremely talented. They're very talented. They know what like they're looking at.
And they also know how to hide in plain sight. Mm-hmm. They know how to get close, but not too close.
Yes.
Because if you get revealed too much as a journalist, you know, they'll try to kick you out. At the same time, you want to be close enough to be able to capture the story. Yeah. And so that takes skill and also takes awareness. And also you want to make sure you're not the center of attention.
Yeah.
They are, but you don't want to be 1,000 feet away.
Absolutely.
You also went to the border, which is part of the Frontlines deal. We had you on the show for that. So I want to play some tape here. This is all your footage. And again, millions and millions of views, over 10 million views. I think it's more over 20 if
probably.
You count the reposting,
probably.
You count the sharing, because it's almost that which is seen and unseen. So actually, this is one of them that you got. You got AOC's first reaction.
When I was in front of the Supreme Court, I was just like, you could feel the energy out there, Charlie. Like we did the hit
yes.
right after, right? You could feel the energy out there. It just, you could really feel like something was about to happen. Like it was like, this is it. This is the day. The pro-life side, the energy was amazing. It was hype. It was
yes.
just like top level. And the pro-choice, the pro-abortion, the death cult, it was right there. They were all out there. And right when that decision came out, that was American world history. We caught it on tape.
So let's
huge. And then AOC spawned out of nowhere.
Yeah, let's watch this. Cut 91, AOC has arrived in front of the Supreme Court and is chanting, "The Supreme Court decision is illegitimate." This is Drew's footage 91. And so part of the reason why I believe we won the narrative war that we were supposed to lose on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday is because your footage. And by the way, this is not just speculation, Drew. Mm-hmm. So we were told by everybody the following. Roe versus Wade comes down and it's going to hurt our midterm chances. You heard something similar to that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, a generic congressional ballot before versus after Roe versus Wade, where on June 21st, Republicans were leading 4 on the generic ballot. And now we're leading by 5 on
wow.
the generic ballot.
Wow. You know, I think part of that could be the response as well, the violent response to this. I mean, you see this kind of footage, you see the way that these people respond to this type of thing. And I think a lot of pro-life organizations that have been putting out a lot of education and media and social media, informing the public just exactly what this is and what it looks like. And then you see people
that's
begin
part
to
of
violently,
it.
Yes,
but
they
then the
violently
other part
oppose
is the,
it.
Is the other part is when you see a picture with a woman who's fully pregnant and she writes on there, not yet
exactly.
human.
Exactly. It all comes together.
I don't think that's persuasive. I mean,
not at all.
A person says, come on. I mean,
it's not science.
No, it's not science.
It's not fact. And, it's evil. People, listen, Charlie, when a regular person is like sitting on social media, to go to your point, and that pops up on their feed, they immediately say to themselves, that's not the side I want to be on.
That's right.
At all.
So you got this cut here too in Tucson, Arizona, where it says a baby is not alive until it takes its first breath. What an extraordinary statement. Play cut 93.
Party of science.
And they all cheer. And so, but it went from the party of safe, legal, and rare to just this incredibly visceral. Mm-hmm. I mean, why are you screaming about babies? I thought they were fetuses. I mean, I thought that if I were to kind of workshop the messaging for the pro-abortion group, which of course I never would, mm-hmm. I would just stay focused on my body, my choice, that poor 14-year-old that, you know, gets pregnant accidentally. But now they've broadened it to actually, you know what? It's never a life and it's not. It seems as if even moderate and people that don't like talking about abortion that much, they want to dissociate from this.
I mean, that's the reality of it. These people end up telling the truth because that's exactly what they're advocating for. I mean, less than 1% of abortions are because of rape cases and those freak cases and medical cases. And the rest are just literally mm-hmm. because people want to be irresponsible and open their legs and get pregnant and don't want to have a baby. And I think the majority of the American people are starting to see just that. And they're realizing that. That's why I said on Tucker, this is a death cult. It is a death cult. They are calling for the murder of babies, and they know it. They're fully aware of it. I mean, if you take a look at this from a biblical perspective, when we talk about the doctrines of total depravity, where you lose all sense of morality from right or wrong, Romans 1, this is what it looks like. These people have no idea. Some of them do, but they don't care.
Yeah, so I want to play this. So you also, and we'll keep you for one more segment, Drew, you also went to the Pride Parade.
Yep.
in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. That was probably out of everything you've covered in the last couple weeks. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's where you received the most threats. Is that right?
Recently, you know,
I'm saying the last couple weeks.
Yeah, last couple weeks, like you say. I mean,
but it seems that the trans people were more angry at you at doxing you than the pro-abortion people. Is that fair to say?
Which ones?
The trans people in LA.
Yes. I mean, it was LA Antifa. They all mobilized and they, like, it was crazy because they were coming after me just because I was filming what they advocate to do, which is involve children in their events. And then they turned it around on me like I'm the crazy pedophile when it's them.
So, Drew, you were on the front lines of the Pride deal. That's not the right way to put it. You were on the front lines covering the Pride deal. Is that fair to say?
Yes, yes.
And some of your clips went totally viral of young children that were in front of fully naked gay men.
Well, not in Pride LA. That's was happening
Seattle?
In Seattle, okay. Yeah, recently. But Pride LA
provocatively
was still pretty bad. There were like males with fake breasts out riding bicycles. So that was happening at Pride LA to that extent.
And so how young were these children?
Little kids. Some of them looked as young as maybe 4 years old, 5 years old. One of the worst things that I saw in Pride LA was there was this trans freak on top of an eggplant emoji float that was literally talking down to children in the crowd, saying that we have lube, literally telling children we have lube. And then like you could see the clip and I pan over and it's a mother with her two children that look between maybe 4 and 5 years old. And you got to ask yourself, like, this is not tolerance. This is not liberal. This is not inclusive. This is exposing children to just disgusting things.
And that is the line. That should be the line for everybody. And so now, it's somewhat an unrelated but related piece of tape I want to play here. So I've Baymax, never heard of that before. I think it's a child
deal. Came, yes.
Yeah. So it's a leaked Baymax video from Disney, the Disney Corporation, that shows a man recommending the type of feminine pads that he uses. This is Disney. Play cut 69.
Excuse me, which of these products would you recommend?
Oh, well, these are the tampons I usually use.
Thank you.
I prefer pads. They're more comfortable for me.
Thank you.
I always get the
look at the t-shirt.
Thank you.
Get them scented and
see
bleach free if you
it's
can.
Nice.
Thank you. Yo, my daughter loves these.
Thank you. These might be easier if it's our first period.
Thank
these
you.
Are really environmentally friendly.
And so,
all in one, they have to add the climate change thing at the end.
Yeah. So can you walk me through what exactly I just watched there?
You just watched total confusion and propaganda to a child to warp their minds. That's exactly what we just watched. I mean, but they're Charlie, here's the thing is they're open about it. They've already come out and said on their little private phone calls or private Skype calls, conference calls, that they have a not so secret gay agenda. So this is what they're going to continue to push on kids,
yes.
Where it goes against biology, science, and facts, and it's to warp the mind of a child even further. You can clearly see it. The individual that's like lecturing Baymax is wearing a trans shirt.
So it goes from that you must tolerate it, and then accept it, then you must celebrate it, then you must participate in it.
Yep.
And then it goes towards your children, where you have these children that are being targeted with that content. So where was that? Is that a one-off thing or is that in the show or what was that?
I think that might be on Disney Plus, the Baymax show.
Okay.
Might be wrong about that.
Just as an addition to that. Yeah. I want to play a piece of tape here. I believe it's cut 94, which is the guy that came up to you and he said, quote, "I love killing babies." Is that an exaggeration of what he said?
Nope, that is 100% true in its context. That's what he said.
Play cut 94.
I guess the pandemic's over. What's wrong, sir? You like killing babies? You love killing babies?
Yeah, I love killing babies.
You love killing babies, huh? You love that, don't you? You love that.
Then assault Savannah Hernandez. Charlie,
they pull that from Alex Jones.
Because we were just out there.
No, it's fine. I mean,
everyone was filming. Everyone was filming out there. I was helping Savannah film. Live TV interviews. Everybody's out there. But the context to that was I was talking to somebody in front of the Supreme Court about how abortion is clearly murdering babies. This guy came out of nowhere. Like he came like from all the way from the other side. It's like demonic, Charlie. Out of these people just come out of nowhere. He came from all the way from the other side, from behind me, and then gets in my ear, in my face, and said, "Did you say that abortion is murdering babies?" Like in a very like sinister, calm tone. And then I'm like, "Yes, sir, that's exactly." And then he just lost his mind. He just completely lost
almost
it.
Almost assaulted you. Almost. I mean, he it was swiped, right there. Yeah.
He did swipe at Savannah Hernandez. Yeah, almost got me too. But that these people are demons.
And by the way, I didn't mean that derogatorily towards Alex Jones. I think he gets a bad rap, honestly. I really do.
Me too.
He's obviously a mixed bag on a lot of different things, but I think a lot of the censorship towards him has just been ridiculous and awful. And a lot of his predictions have come true.
Yep.
Drew, thank you for the great work that you have done and that you do. It's terrific. We deeply appreciate it. And you just have to keep on going to the front lines and covering things. And this is not for everybody. This is kind of like, do not try this at home. But I say this all the time. If you see a powerful person, take out your smartphone, ask them a question and record yourself asking that question.
Absolutely.
Anybody can do it.
Absolutely.
So if you see a powerful woman politician on the left, go up to her and say, "What is a woman?" And then you could email us the clip of their response, freedom@charliekirk.com. You have the power to challenge tyranny, and Drew's an inspiration for that. Drew, thanks so much. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Right now, court packing is the real danger to our country. Make no mistake, court packing is a coup. The radical left is working overtime on new plans to pack the Supreme Court. Look, if we do not stop them from installing four more justices so they can rig the system in their favor, it'll be catastrophic for our court, our country, and the American way of life. We cannot let this happen. I will not let it happen on our watch. That's why I need you to join us. We're gathering a coalition of 1 million patriots to say no to court packing, no to the left-wing agenda, and no to the Supreme Court coup. Franklin Graham, former U.S. Attorney General Ed Meese, Dr. James Dobson, the Family Policy Alliance, and more, and over 400,000 people like you are all on board. Please sign your name now. Go to Supreme Coup, that's COUP.com, to sign First Liberty's letter. First Liberty's a great organization run by a dear friend, Kelly Shackelford. Go to SupremeCoup.com, and God bless America. There are a few people that are in hero status and legend status in the conservative movement, and one of them is James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe, I have known for nearly a decade. I have seen him get attacked by every major institutional imaginable, and yet he is stronger than ever. Project Veritas is one of the most important charities in America. Project Veritas is a 501c3 nonprofit, just like Turning Point USA. I don't talk openly about favorably or positively about a lot of nonprofits. I think a lot of them are a waste of time. But Project Veritas is one of the good ones, and it's worthy of your support. James O'Keefe hits home run after home run, and he recently has an amazing one from his Project Veritas action as well. And yesterday, I think, was his birthday. James, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Great to be with you, Charlie. What a big story this is in South Carolina.
Tell us all about it.
Well, this is a Democratic candidate for United States Senate running in the primary. The primary was last night, June 28th, which is also my 38th birthday. So quite a day. It's also Elon Musk's birthday, by the way. June 28th is quite a day. And this is the Crystal Matthews using racially charged language while encouraging illicit campaign tactics. She was caught in a jail. She was talking to someone inside of a jail, and it was a recorded line. And a whistleblower provided this to us. Some of these quotes are pretty incendiary. This is the candidate. And by the way, she won last night. So now she's going to face Tim Scott, the South Carolina U.S. senator in the general election. She said, quote, "Where's my dope money, my duffel bag boys? Give me that dope money. Honestly, I'm an N-word at heart. I love black people. We need folks that can wear black at night and take down their effing yard signs." I mean, just this is just some of the most shocking things you'll ever hear. Now, yesterday, the House legislator in South Carolina has put together an ethics committee to investigate this woman who has just won last night the primary in South Carolina. And a lot more to say, but that's the gist.
And so how did you obtain that tape of her saying that?
Well, we don't. We have a source that provided it to us.
That's the most James O'Keefe answer I've ever heard. That's fine.
I mean, we have people everywhere.
I know. I'm not accused. I'm just saying it's typical James O'Keefe. We have a source. I believe it. Done. Okay.
Yes. And sometimes, and you know, as you know, and you know, historically we've gone undercover to infiltrate, but a lot of these things we don't go undercover at all. Someone who has access to the individual comes to us. So we didn't seek out Matthews. I didn't say I'm going to go target Matthews. It was actually someone had this and provided it to us from a jail, and the Associated Press is covering it, Charlie. We have all the local TV stations. This is really extraordinary. Matthews goes on local 5 television yesterday and is interviewed for 30 minutes, and she doubles down on the dope money and the illicit campaign contribution. Not, she doesn't deny it. Usually people say, that's not me. I was taken out of context. No, she says, I was caught in a private conversation. Of course, that's the whole point. People are more honest in private when they're speaking one-on-one.
So, James, I want to ask you, what is the latest from the FBI raiding your apartment? This is something that really didn't get the coverage I think it deserved at the time or since. And so the Federal Bureau of Investigation raided your apartment and also your colleague's apartment because of some connection to Joe Biden's daughter's diary. Walk us through this.
Well, the latest developments there is that we had a whistleblower inside the FBI come to us 2 months ago and gave us a document, a restricted document, classified document inside the FBI, where the FBI considered Project Veritas news media. That's very significant because the prosecutors in New York, which got the warrant to raid my house, which is unconstitutional and illegal, said that I was not news media. The judge rejected the FBI's, the U.S. attorney's claim that we're not news media and said that we're protected by the First Amendment. Assigned, appointed a special master. This is regarding the Ashley Biden diary that was provided to us. The FBI tried to claim that it was stolen. We didn't steal it. Even if it was stolen, it's not illegal for us to publish stolen material. So the latest development is that we filed a motion before this judge to get our stuff back. They have our phones and laptops. They need to give it back. This is an unconstitutional raid. It's so unconstitutional. The American Civil Liberties Union is defending Project Veritas, as is the Reporters Committee. Charlie, you can't probably name one other conservative or perceived to be conservative organization defended by the ACLU. And this, the issue here, the constitutional violation is that they got a warrant and they're sealing the probable cause against a journalist. So it's sort of like them saying, let me go through all your anonymous sources and reporters' notebooks to make sure you're not breaking any laws. That's illegal in the United States. You can't do that. And their argument is premised upon the fact that we're not journalists, and the FBI whistleblower released a document saying that we are journalists. So this is a pretty amazing case, and the judge will have to rule on this, and we should get that ruling here shortly.
So, James, what's in the diary that we're not supposed to talk about?
Well, Tucker did a 20-minute long segment on that very issue some 10 days ago.
My regret was that it was on a Friday. I'm afraid it didn't get the distribution it deserved.
Well, a Daily Mail reporter about 10 days ago came out and reported that now the authorities, the Department of Justice, is investigating the source for selling it. Project Veritas bought the rights to it. We never published it, Charlie, because I couldn't verify that what Ashley wrote in the diary actually happened. And I have an ethical responsibility to corroborate allegations. That's a bar higher than many other reporters who just report accusations. I choose not to do that. But the Daily Mail, it's to me, the story here is not what Ashley Biden wrote, perhaps in a drug rehab clinic, in a diary. The story is the unbelievably historic constitutional violations of the FBI raiding journalists' homes and pointing guns at my head and taking my anonymous source notebooks. That's the real story.
Well, and also, James, they ask, so you call your attorney, correct me if I'm not mistaken, you say, hey, can I call my attorney? You unlock the phone, call your attorney, and as soon as you're done with the call, they take the phone out of your hand so that you don't have to unlock the phone. Is that correct?
Yes. They came in my apartment with guns and bulletproof vests and battering rams. And then, I asked to speak to my lawyer. Of course, I don't have my lawyer's phone number memorized. Think of it. Whose phone numbers do you have memorized? Probably just your mom and dad. So then I say, may I use my phone? They say, would you like to use the phone on the nightstand? I said, yes. I proceed to unlock my iPhone. And as soon as the phone goes to voicemail, they snatch the phone out of my hand and put it in an evidence bag, which they leave open. So the point, and I testified before Congress, before members of Congress 2 months ago, Charlie, and this is a very nuanced point, but it's an important one. The moment that they cross into your apartment and take your journalistic notes and anonymous sources, the constitutional violations are infinite. There's no way they can make me whole after violating my rights like that. That's the gravest violation of constitutional rights imaginable. And the Reporters Committee and left-leaning organizations are angry about it. Can you think of any other case? No, because this is about journalism and the First Amendment. And that's the real story here. Not what, I mean, some people are making it about what Ashley Biden alleged. I'm not going to go there because I have not been able to verify whether that is true. But what is true is that the Joe Biden's Department of Justice is targeting people who are investigating him. And Ashley Biden's lawyer, a woman named Roberta Kaplan, is the same lawyer for the daughter-in-law of the prosecutor who got the warrants against me. This is like Banana Republic, Russian North Korea stuff that we're living through. And this judge in New York, it's on her desk to unseal the affidavit. She has a constitutional obligation to unseal the affidavits, and I think that she will.
I mean, it's so extraordinary on so many levels. I just want everyone listening to understand that you have a journalist who is exposing the Democrat Party and the left, vaccine companies. And what do? They go bring in their secret police. Just so everyone's clear, the Daily Mail reported that in the diary, Ashley Biden wrote extensively about Joe Biden showering with her and acting inappropriate to her, possibly sexually. That's the Daily Mail that reported that. You guys could check that out. I understand you have to be careful with that. In closing here, James, I want to just go through some of your greatest hits the last couple of days. Can you talk about the Elon Musk's meeting with Twitter that you guys publicized? We haven't really talked about Elon. Well, you just mentioned his birthday. Despite that, we haven't really focused a lot on it. What did we learn in that call?
Well, Elon Musk and I share a birthday. Just funny irony, coincidence there. We've been reporting some raw phone calls that Elon Musk has had with Twitter. There was that one that he dialed into the call and expressed his commitment to freedom of speech. We also reported recently that Twitter's own all hands call, right when the deal was announced with Elon Musk buying it, people were up in arms, upset about it. And then, Charlie, that comes on the heels of our two Twitter executives caught on hidden camera, one of them mocking Elon Musk's Asperger's condition, saying he's, quote, special needs. And then that guy, Alex Martinez, sprinting away from me in New York City, running away from me as I confronted him with his own words. And then the other Twitter engineer calling themselves communist as F-U-C-K and saying that they don't really show up to work there at Twitter. So a lot going on. And by the way, we have sources inside Twitter that keep feeding us these phone calls. You have to remember, all these people, including this North South Carolina Senate race, again, to remind you, Crystal Matthews, state rep, has just won the primary in South Carolina, running against U.S. Senator Tim Scott. Tim Scott will likely win. But this is probably the most damning thing you will ever hear in the history of Project Veritas, released 2 days ago, talking about dope money, campaign violations, using the N-word. This is crazy. And she won despite us releasing this. So this is a new Rubicon that we're crossing here in American society when people can win after saying things like that.
James, keep up the great work. They're trying to take you out and they fail every single time. We have your back, projectveritas.com/brave. Make a financial support of James O'Keefe's organization. It's worth it. I don't say that about a lot of groups. Project Veritas is great. Hope to see you in Tampa, James. Keep up the great work.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So Madrid is kind of the center of the world right now. I've been to Madrid. It's a nice city, nice place. Spain is fine. I have some good friends in Spain. But Madrid is kind of the meeting point for a lot of global leaders right now. And there's a CODEL happening, a congressional delegation in Spain. So while you are not able to afford to go on vacation, don't worry. Your Republican officials are touring Spanish wine country, but not just touring it with anybody. Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin said that the time he's spending traveling throughout Europe with Tom Tillis is giving him confidence that they can restart immigration talk reforms again. So while you are barely able to fly across America, where a flight from Phoenix to New York is $1,200 round trip, your leaders are enjoying the beautiful rolling hills of Spain in the summer as part of a bipartisan delegation to the NATO summit. Here's what Dick Durbin says, quote, "A deal on comprehensive immigration reform has been elusive for several years on Capitol Hill, as lawmakers have squabbled over everything from a border wall to a legal status for Dreamers." Durbin's comment about a Uvalde moment is a reference to the massacre at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, which sparked Senate action on gun reforms and produced the first successful piece of legislation on the issue in decades. Quote, "We've been talking the last couple days about reviving the effort," Dick Durbin said. "And I think what happened at the border with finding 51 dead migrants in a tractor trail is what I call a Uvalde moment. I hope it sparks an interest in finding a bipartisan approach to deal with immigration." Now, Dick Durbin has been chief amnesty sponsor for years. Dick Durbin would love nothing more than to offer mass amnesty. Never build a wall. Never have any sort of southern border restrictions or security. You cannot trust a thing this guy says. So why is Tom Tillis negotiating with him? By the way, we have 3 million people crossing into our country annually. 3 million people. The state of Nevada illegally enters into America. Dick Durbin doesn't care. You know what Dick Durbin wants to do? Dick Durbin wants to give all of them legal status. We have a state of Arkansas coming into America. We have a territory of Puerto Rico coming in every single year. And Dick Durbin doesn't care. Do you think North Carolina wants this? For all of you listening on radio right now or podcasting or The Real America's Voice or on Rumble or on Getter, how many of you in North Carolina out of Tom Tillis want your elected officials to go tour Spanish wine country right now and negotiate immigration reform? Is that what the people of North Carolina want? While the people of North Carolina can barely afford to fill up a tank of gas to go take their kids to the beach, while they could barely afford basic necessities, your leaders are whining and dining and trying to see, how can I have mass amnesty while we have 3 million people coming into our country every single year? Certainly couldn't afford a European vacation, but that's okay. Your leaders don't care. Your leaders do what they want. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.